Hello, reptile entrepreneurs. My name is Bill Strand, and today I'm bringing you a story of someone who wanted something better than what was available, so he made it happen. I'm going to introduce you to Colby Jingles, who started a company called Thrive Ecosystems. Colby was a breeder of dart frogs and wanted an LED light bar that had a more complete spectrum than what was available. Most of the times when we're in a situation like that, we go and we find the absolute best thing available. And then we say, I've done my best. But those of us in the entrepreneurial community take it a step further. Whether it's something extra we want for our hydration systems, for our caging, or for our lighting systems, we make it happen. And Colby Jingles made his lighting bar happen. I'm going to bring Colby on and we're going to talk about what does it take to have an idea and then make it happen. Oh, I know in all of our entrepreneurial stories, we always romanticize it. But the fact is, when it comes down to actually getting it done, there's a lot of pieces that have to go together. There is real world money involved, and mistakes or missteps can be disastrous in real life. And so Colby's going to be coming on, and we're going to be talking about his journey from idea to actually making the steps to get this light bar made. So please join me in welcoming Colby Jingles from Thrive Ecosystems to the Reptile Entrepreneur Podcast. Hello, reptile entrepreneurs. This is Bill Strand, and today I am with Colby Jingles of Thrive Ecosystems, and we're going to talk about how Thrive came to be. Welcome, Colby.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
All right, so let's start at the beginning. Let's start painting a picture here. What is Thrive Ecosystems?
Born out of necessity, the whole reason for the business and actually LLC was, you know, legal side with the lights, to be honest with you. I started, my interest in herpetology started as a kid, 10, 12, 15 years ago. One of my very first animals was actually an Argentine tegu. I was fortunate enough to live in South Alabama and actually got to drive up to BERT at Agama International.
Nice.
Hopefully some people are familiar with that name. And, you know, as a young kid, I got to tour his whole facility and meet him and his wife and see the tegus and the Chinese water dragons and everything. And, you know, the whole inspiration behind that was kind of born. But, you know, as a kid, I was always watching Steve Irwin, Jeff Corwin. Every day after school, it was Animal Planet. And, through high school, I had, a few animals here and there, Seminoles, Basilisk, Argentine tegu, the skinks that I caught outside. And after high school, it kind of dwindled down. And about 5 years ago, the love was kind of rekindled with my own kids. I've got a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, and saw an ad for a reptile show in Denver, Colorado, where we used to live. And I was like, all right, I'll take my kid. And just seeing the joy, kind of light up. And I looked at aquascaping, seeing the beauty in the aquascaping, which led me to the bioactive terrariums and, four dart frogs and a pair of, giant day geckos. Ended up with 50 terrariums later, a couple of years. And, it expanded a lot from there. And, it's been an absolute joy. I'm fortunate enough to where, I work from home for the most part, and I do travel quite a bit. But it's allowed me to, have that freedom to be able to do, a lot of the stuff in the room and still maintain, happy, healthy animals. And, it was kind of born out of necessity. We, it got so big that we had to find a way to almost separate the finances. I'd asking the wife, can I go buy $1,000 dart frogs? And so, we had to find a way to, have the hobby pay for itself. And so that led to the breeding of the dart frogs and, the selling of the plants and the cuttings and stuff like that, to where it was, paying for itself, but not a whole lot of expansion. And so, went through thousands of dollars worth of lighting and tried every light that you can imagine, every brand that you can imagine. and was never truly happy with a lot of them. And I started doing my own research into like circadian rhythms, and mostly on the plant spectrum side. I spent a lot of time researching spectrum circadian rhythm and a lot of those natural behaviors on animals. And it took about 8 months of research before, you know, I kind of dialed in on a manufacturer I wanted to partner with for a diode. And luckily it was almost an off the shelf diode. We had a little bit of tweaking, like the phosphorus coatings and some crazy stuff with that.
Wait a minute. There was a huge jump there. I mean, I was tracking you of, oh, I've got dart frogs, want to pay for itself, and I'm breeding. You know, there's a lot of people out here who are right with you up until the point, okay, now I'm looking for manufacturers for a diode. What happened to where, hey, you know what? I can make my own light. How did that idea come to you?
Seeing, you know, I've got a box of lights in the back that, you know, I've used, no brands or anything like that, but, you know, every light that you can imagine. And again, I just wasn't happy with some of these things. And I've always been in the mindset of, if you want it done right, do it yourself kind of thing. I've always pursued, you know, some of those things. I've always looked at, if I can't be the only one in this boat, I can't be the only one that's not happy with some of these lights. And so that's where the true research started, is if I can at least do my room, then I think I'll be happy. And then a few friends started showing some interest, and it expanded very quickly.
What weren't you happy with?
For the most part, it was the PPFD output for plants. So our theme is kind of lumens are for people, PPFD are for plants. The light that you see, the light that we see is lumens. We don't see the CRI. We don't see the PPFD or the PAR that the plants need. And when we look at, especially in the dart frog hobby, when we're trying to grow some of these crazy understory plants and bring out the natural colors of it, but we also want our bromeliads to be nice and beautiful and bright and our orchids to bloom, how do we blend some of that stuff together? And you see a lot of companies with the red diodes and the blue diodes to bring out some of those colors in a more unnatural setting, is kind of the way that I look at it. Where we're able to use a white diode, but still maintain a super high red and a super high blue on the spectrum to bring out those natural colors. And it's something that Dr. Francis Bain and I had kind of some Facebook conversations regarding CRI, color rendering index. We kind of got into a conversation where it's not important for reptiles, but it is important to me because I want to see the most naturalistic light source on my plants. Because when you build, you know, when you spend $500, $600 on a tank or a terrarium, we want to see what it's truly supposed to look like. And so a high CRI or a color rendering index is designed to be as close to natural sunlight to the human eyes as possible. And so we just had a third party test. It came back at 96 CRI, 94 or 96. I can't remember exactly. But most of your diodes out there are around an 80, which is, it's normal. That's what everybody sees. You know, that's very common. That's what, you know, lighting at Target, you know, things like that, that'll get you to buy a shirt or something. But when you throw a super high CRI light on something, you can clearly see a difference between the two, especially with begonias or orchids or something.
Now, there are some big names with working with LED lighting who have teams, engineers. Why would they not include this in their light?
The market hasn't demanded it yet. I've thought a lot about that question. Why somebody should purchase my light over, you know, some of the other name brand lights, because the market hasn't demanded it yet. I look at it as a little bit of lack of education. The more I can educate, the better off somebody is to make the right decision. And I have found that the more research people put into lighting, the more it steers them our direction. And so it's just, there hasn't been a demand for a light outside of, you know, just your typical spectrum that you see on a lot of the off-the-shelf LED lights.
Okay. Now, you said at the very least you wanted to make some for you. And so that is much different than saying, okay, I'm going to set up an LLC, an e-commerce store, a payment provider, and I'm going to deal with customer service because that's so much fun. Where did the jump come from between, okay, I want this for me, and I am going to spread this into the world?
I designed a product that I was very happy with, that I felt would support my hobby and my business to where I could launch to the market. And that's how the LLC formed. You know, the accountants, the family accountant was like, you have to LLC. What happens if, you know, a light fails and house catches on fire? You know, that's some of the things you have to think about. You know, when you start running all the surge protectors and the lighting and, you know, the lights are manufactured here. I hand solder all the lights and everything like that. And so there is some liability into it. And that's what the LLC was for. And to help keep the businesses, the finances separate, to help, you know, the bank account separate and stuff like that. But it was, you know, it was really, I needed a way to expand the hobby, and I wanted to share my research with the market. And so that's where, you know, we truly started to streamline the fixtures, because my original design, I wish I still had one. My original design was an ExoTerra hood with a aluminum plate with my boards attached to it. So the aluminum plate, you know, I essentially ripped out everything from the ExoTerra hood, and I screwed an aluminum plate into it for the heat dissipation. And that was my light for, you know, for a lot of my testing phases. But then we had to start looking at sourcing an extruded aluminum fixture, going through, you know, the different manufacturers and things like that. I got lucky with my manufacturer to where it was the third manufacturer that I found, that allowed me to do a low MOQ or a minimum order quantity. I tried everything in my power to source domestically. However, when it came to the aluminum, unfortunately, we did have to source, you know, from another country, just because of cost. It was almost three times the cost to have it manufactured here, in one state away, actually, than have it, you know, manufactured overseas. And so we were able to keep the boards manufactured here. They're actually manufactured in Michigan for me, German diodes. And so, yeah, that's kind of how, you know, the lighting launched into the market.
So where did you get the confidence to feel that you had a product? I mean, it's one thing to make 10 of them for your room and you're the only one who's with them. It's another thing to make a product, and lighting is a serious product. That's not just a this is a different kind of pot or a feeding dish. I mean, this is electrical. I mean, there's science behind it. Once that goes into the market, it is going to be scrutinized by some people with some big brains. So what was it that gave you the confidence that, yes, I have something that is world class that can be distributed?
The community. You know, I have a couple of mentors here that, one's younger and one's older. One's a really good mentor of mine in the frog hobby, and another one's a really good mentor of mine. He does a lot of chameleons as well. And getting a lot of the real world feedback from them on some of these things. And we did a very, very soft launch to where, we posted on one Dart Frog page, very slow start to how it started going. And when you're able to come up with a good product, word of mouth, you know, is the cheapest advertising you can have, but it could also be the worst advertising you can have, because if you do launch with an inferior product, that word of mouth will shut you down dramatically. Once a week, I doubt my lights, you know, because I see somebody that orders them that I know from a hobby, that I get real concerned about, you know, their personal opinion or their feedback. No matter what, there's always going to be people that don't like your product, and that's okay. We use it for our constant improvement and the advancement of the products. Mm-hmm. And, you know, anytime I see an influencer or somebody like that, I always start the conversation with, I want your honest, harsh criticism on the product before, we start a relationship together, or like an influencer relationship together. Because at the end of the day, we want them to be super happy with the product. And all of the feedback has been incredible. You know, sleek fixtures, nice heat dissipation, you know, semi-linkability, things along those lines. But it's very nerve-wracking. It really, really is.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But when you have that passion to do it, there's a lot of fun. There's nothing better than getting the pictures of your lights on tanks that are just absolutely thriving. Mm-hmm. And to see people talk about them and post about them. That's where you know that you've got a good product and you want to continue to advance that product. You know, we're not done. We're on version 3 in 2 years. And so version 3, I'm finally very, very happy with, to where we can. So I have to meet 107,000 diode minimum order, which is a lot. I've ran out of my requests for a sample run. So my next order has to be 107,000 diodes, and that's a huge undertaking. To where I was just talking to my wife about, you know, what are we going to do to get this order in place and things along those lines. And so, but you know, a lot of it comes down to negotiation too. You know, I negotiated with my company that manufactures the boards. They'll front the cost for the diodes and we'll split them into quarterly shipments, just under a contract. And so don't be afraid to negotiate. Everything in life is negotiable. My aluminum, I negotiated, you know, payment terms are half down and then half upon shipping. Same thing with the power supplies and all of that stuff. And so don't, you know, fight for what you want. Negotiate. That's going to be the biggest key.
So with a light, there are a number of components in there. And you've mentioned aluminum, the extrusion, there's the power supply, there's the diodes, and those are all connected in by wires, circuit board, and such. How many different companies do you need to put together to create a light?
So right now I have power supply, aluminum, diode, board. I have four companies that I work with to complete my light, essentially. And so the power supplies and the extruded aluminum all come from overseas. The diodes actually come from Germany. And then the boards themselves so there's five companies. The boards are blank when you get them. And so I have a company in Michigan that puts the diodes on the boards and has them all soldered and tested and put to the resistance standards for, you know, the amperage and the voltage that I need. Because the market, with lighting in general, most of your grow lights for other industries run off what's called constant current. And trying to have somebody do a constant current where that's where your electrical fires can happen very quickly, because people start linking things together and they don't know electricity very well. The units themselves had to be plug and play. There's no question about it. We didn't want any kind of user error to cause, you know, any kind of issues that could potentially happen. And so, you know, the only thing that I've had happen in 3 years is I've had two power supplies fail. and I just got word of my first unit failing. And so that was really, really good to hear, you know, that it took 3 years for a unit to fail. And the fact that it was version one, where it was, you know, a very archaic version, a very dirty version, I guess is what you would call it, where it wasn't a single board. It was a couple different boards that were hand soldered and wired together or something like that. But now that it's all on a single board, you know, multiple diodes on a single board, the chance for error was dramatically reduced. And that's something that took a lot of cost too. It was, you know, $500 worth of research and design just per board. And so we're getting ready to do another board, a 24 inch board, because right now we wire up to 12 inch lights for 24 inch lights.
Oh, okay.
And so we're starting to get, we're starting to get to where we have to have separate inventory for all of them just for tracking purposes. And so I just emailed my board manufacturer this morning, actually saying, let's go ahead and get a 24 inch board tooled up because I have to go 12, 24, 12, 18 and 24. I don't know, because of the cost to ship in a 36 inch aluminum, it's not cost effective for us to do a 36 inch board when we're able to link two 18 inch lights on the same power supply and get that 36 inch reach. Where we do struggle, however, is a 4 foot light. And so all of our Baker's racks are 4 foot, you know.
Yeah.
I've been lucky enough to where you can have a 24 inch and an 18 inch Exoterra. So I've got two different lights. I'm working with one person right now where he just got a huge, huge shipment of PVC enclosures, and we're designing, he needs 12 24 inch lights on a single rack. And we don't want to have 12 plugs taken up by my lights. And so we're designing a system where it's either going to be a single plug on a big control center power supply or two control centers for that one rack. And so that's going to dramatically reduce the amount of power supplies that could potentially fail on you. Mm-hmm. And it's gonna reduce the amount of wires going everywhere. And so we look at, you know, some of those things too. And we're always open to a lot of the customization. I've got a new an arachnid. I call it an arachnid light. We're working with somebody who needs a very specific temperature of light, 4,500 Kelvin, to help induce breeding in certain tarantulas. And so we designed a light just for him with that temperature. And now we need to go smaller because, you know, my 12 inch lights, they're pretty good size units. And when we have a lot of those on smaller arachnid enclosures, they come up pretty big and not very clean. And so we're working with a few different smaller diodes to where we can just have a smaller light unit. I ran it for about 3 weeks here on a personal tank, and I'm going to ship it out to him next week for him to test on his as well.
All right. With all of these components, how in the world did you find manufacturers for all of them? I mean, that sounds, if you were to ask me, where do you find okay, I've been doing this, so I don't count. But the standard hobbyist who says, how in the world am I going to find these manufacturers, and how am I going to find one that's not going to be dishonest?
Right.
How do you do that?
It took about 3 weeks of searching and Googling and Alibaba to find my extruded aluminum. About $600 worth of samples. Because, you know, your samples are free, but you got to pay $90 to ship it here. So we went through a lot of money getting samples of different extruded aluminum. We needed, you know, that clean fixture. And it comes down to, I have a little bit of an e-commerce background, so I kind of knew where to look. But, you know, when you're looking to source items like that, you know, you've got Alibaba, you have AliExpress. There's a lot of domestic producers here as well that can do, you know, a smaller amount. And it comes down to just a massive amount of Googling, and to where you sit down and you're sorting through so much data and so many search results and hundreds and thousands of websites to try and, you know, search it. I sent, you know, 500, 600 emails out, and you know, you'd get 100 back, and you'd start just filtering from there. And it takes a lot of work and a lot of time, and a lot of people can get discouraged incredibly quick and feel like they're not going anywhere. But then all of a sudden, boom, you got it. You know, you have your manufacturer, you've enabled a relationship, you've got your first order in with them. It goes a little rough because it's your first order, but things just get progressively easier over time. And so it was all research and asking.
How did you get them to take you seriously enough to work with you? And by the way, maybe I'll allow you to explain why that's a question I'm asking.
You know, most manufacturers want the biggest check they can. And you know, when I mentioned MOQ earlier, minimum order quantity, my first units, I would have to order 250 strips at one time to just satisfy their minimums. They wouldn't even talk to me, you know, unless you meet that minimum. And so it does happen. We have another product that is a grow tent cover that fits over a baker's rack that we had to, in order to meet their minimum, I had to do pre-orders first. So we did a pre-order campaign to get enough money to meet the minimums. And then after that first order came in, you know, we're able to keep going and keep going. And I think we're on our fourth supply order with them. I just looked, I've got to do another order with them. And once you find your first product and you learn the process of sourcing and, you know, the payment terms and shipping, you know, I received my first sea freight shipping. That was our grow tent. It was just too expensive to ship DHL, you know, air. And so sea freight, it takes 45 days to get over here.
Yeah.
And the tracking is terrible. And so you're always constantly wondering where it is. And you've got customers, you know, saying, where's my stuff at? And, you know, issued a lot of refunds because I couldn't give an honest answer of when you know, the 100 units are going to arrive. And I'd rather issue a refund and contact them once everything's in than drag some things on. And so be prepared for a lot of that stuff. You mentioned, you know, the love of customer service. that's a whole nother ball game. I worked retail for a long time, and so I've seen the best of people and the worst of people. And you know, I'm used to a lot of that stuff. But again, word of mouth can make or break your business very, very, very quick.
How do you figure out how to test this thing? I mean, testing the first five, you do it, you've got it. But now you're getting an order of however many lights 107,000 will make. So how do you make sure that you can maintain the quality?
That's one of the things that I have, you know, the quality of the boards themselves. I've negotiated with my actual board company in Michigan. We went through, and that was one of the things with your order, was we were perfectly in the transition between version 2 and version 3, where the first version 3 I got was completely under spec because I was working with one person who quit, and then it went to another person, but the notes weren't very good. And so my first order of version 3 was a completely waste. I couldn't do anything with them. And luckily we were fortunate enough to where the company was willing to take it back, pull the diodes off. We lost about half the diodes because we do have some where they, you know, they'll short out whenever you're trying to pull them off the board. And so we lost about half those diodes. They sent 3 units at my spec that I wanted. We were almost there. And then they tweaked them a little bit more. We got a little bit more power out of them without sacrificing our heat dissipation. And I just received, you know, our stocking order for that one. And so it's tough, you know, when I've got the company in Michigan is wanting to manufacture the whole light for me. And I'm struggling letting go of that because of that quality thing. You know, every light that gets sent out of here gets tested for amperage to make sure it's within spec. And so it can, I don't want to say I'm afraid to get too big, because at the end of the day, that's the goal, is we do. We want to get big, and you know, I'd love to quit my day job and, you know, pursue, you know, lights and animals and, you know, things along those lines. We're very happy and very comfortable where we are right now, to where I'm having trouble giving up some of that. I enjoy making them, you know, after the kids go to bed, I'll you know, crank them out or something like that. Back in the beginning, like my wife was doing the vinyl logos on it. And eventually she says, no, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. It's too much. And so we have to, you know, bulk order our logos and things along those lines. But it's always, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. I failed a lot throughout the whole process. But you know, it's not all glamour. You know, it was actually about 2 years of, you know, failing and trying and tweaking, and I've got boxes of stuff I just can't use.
Well, let's get into that. I mean, you've made it sound easy. I mean, and glamorous. What kind of things would people run into if they wanted to try something like this for their niche reptile interest?
One of the constant struggles for us is obviously capital. With our 107,000 diode order, that's a lot of capital that we have to come up with. And same thing with, you know, the tent covers. It's a lot of money that could, by the way, could come up.
Just for context, how many diodes is in a 24 inch light?
So there's 6 strings, 55 runs. So there's 110. So there's 220 diodes in a 24 inch light. There are 100. So yeah, you can 107,000 divided by 220. That's a lot of lights. So
like 5,000.
It's going right? To be a very, very big order. Yeah. So
let's see. If there's 200. Would that be 500?
No, it's my next order. Okay. I hope will last me a whole year, and yeah, so okay. It can get big. Luckily, I have a huge unfinished basement that my wife has graciously let me take over most of it. It's what was the original question? I'm sorry.
So that's 500 light. Okay, so yes, I was just wanted to give everybody a magnitude of what you're having to commit to make that step into actually this being a business, and you know, some of the lessons learned.
Mm-hmm. So like capital was the biggest thing to overcome first. You know, like I said, you can do as much research as you want, you can come up with the perfect product that you want, but if you don't have a way to execute it, that's where the struggle is. And we didn't do any crowdsourcing. No, you know, we didn't ask any family for money or anything like that. We were fortunate to where we had, you know, some savings and stuff like that that were able to be used. And the wife was very supportive in letting me pursue some of these things. And so that's, you know, we were fortunate enough in that perspective. But I think if you have a good idea and you're struggling with something like that, I think the hobby itself, there's always somebody out there that's willing to partner with or help, you know, somebody else out with. And even if, you know, if there's anything that we can do to help, I would love to help out another entrepreneur come up with, you know, a great product or something along those lines to help out, even if it's just a loan or, you know, part ownership or something along those lines. I think, you know, the hobby itself is there. Plant sales, you know, cut the plants and learn how to propagate and sell a lot of your plants to come up with money to, you know, start buying diodes and soldering guns and things along those lines. There's always a way to do it. We just got to kind of try and figure out how to actually do it.
How is this business growing as far as being a significant percentage of income? Where does this stand? Hobby business, side business, potential full-time business?
We are at that perfect threshold to where we're still a hobby. this next order could potentially turn it into a full-time, part-time job to where that's the decision that we have to make. And I think we have to go that step because, again, the market is uneducated on a lot of the lighting. And I think we have to make that next step in order to better the keeping of the animals that we have and to advance the hobby and to get some of the bigger manufacturers to step back and say, maybe we do need to tweak our design a little bit. Maybe there are some things that we could improve upon or do better. A lot of the bigger manufacturers have taken, if it's not broke, we're not going to fix it approach. And nobody's come in and looked at it and said, it's broken. I'm not saying everybody's broken. You know, a lot of the lights still, you know, do a very good job for your Pothos or, you know, your Arica Palm or something like that. But when you start looking at animal behavior and the true spectrum of the sun, we're getting ready to send a unit to Thomas over in Europe for his spectrometer readings and his full scientific write-up on the lights. And that's where I get nervous again, you know, because there's two approaches, you know, it's he publishes it or I publish it. And, you know, if you have somebody like Thomas do it, you have Thomas post it. And so you're, you know, it's nail biting. You're like, I hope everything's right.
Yes. It's either awesome or it can kill the business. Yep.
Exactly. Exactly.
What would it take for you to say, okay, this is a full-time business. It's time for me to dedicate 100%.
With just the lights in general, we would need it's almost 4x where we're currently at right now. We tripled last year, which is amazing to see. So we've already tripled our sales numbers from last year, and you know we've still got what 5 more months to go, and that's allowing us the capital to start pushing the boundaries even further. There's a lot of conversations with UVB LEDs right now, and we won't get into that. There's a reason I have not touched UVB LEDs, and I encourage everybody to do their research on the Reptile Lighting Facebook group. On UVB LEDs, and so that's there's a very good reason why we have not looked at UVB LEDs yet, and so there's little things that we do that are very different. We use like a frosted diffuser versus a clear diffuser for better light spread. I know I lose a lot of efficacy, so if I ran a clear diffuser, my lights would be 40% brighter than what they are now. However, we run into those hot spots in the lights themselves. And so there's a lot of research that still needs to be done in order for me to, you know, to quit my day job. Mm-hmm. And maybe one day we'll get there. Maybe we won't. You don't know unless you keep trying and you keep pushing. We like to hope that we get there, but if we don't, we've done everything we can to better our keeping and the people that ordered our stuff.
Why do you think people order your lights over the other lights that are available?
Research is one of them. You know, we've seen, like I said, the more somebody researches spectrums, the more that they realize a lot of the lights on the market right now are very standard. They're very Home Depot under cabinet lighting. You know, our biggest competitor, I think, is probably the Barina 4-foot LEDs off Amazon. Don't get me wrong, I've got them on my plants because I've got two plugs and, you know, I can run 12 lights on two plugs. They're super cool for my plant tubs. But in my grow tents, you know, they're all my lights and everything as well because that's where our bigger, you know, more mother plants is what we call them. But I think the newness has a lot to do with it as well. And so, but the results... You know, when you see the natural coloration of the plants and you see that light spread of a frosted diffuser and you see a cleaner looking fixture, a lot of people tend to go that direction. I've had people order one unit and then all of a sudden they ordered 15 units to convert their entire rooms after about 4 or 5 months worth of use, you know. And so it's a lot of fun to see, and we always try and help out, you know, any way we can with stuff like that. But we went through, you know, a lot of, I call them secret testers. You know, I sent out about 5 or 6 units to well-known people in the Dart Frog industry and let them run for about 8 months before we actually opened up to the public for purchase, I guess would be the words for them. And so it's all about testing and just a lot of testing.
All right, I'm going to put together a scenario here, which everyone who's an entrepreneur thinks about and goes through. And I know I did. And so we're just going to throw it out here. So you've got these great new lights that you created because they had a, can I say they have a wider spectrum? Would that be correct?
Correct. Yes.
Or a greater intensity in certain areas of the spectrum?
Yeah, so we have a more naturalistic spectrum. So your typical spectrum chart, you know, kind of goes high blues, little reds, and that's kind of it. Like, it's all the same. However, with ours, we're a more linear curve. And so if you pull up the actual spectrum of the sun, you watch that linear curve and you see like peak sunrise, you know, peak intensity of suns is between like 1 and 3, depending on where your relation is to the equator and stuff like that. And to be able to have a white light match that natural sun spectrum was probably our biggest achievement that we were able to make.
So a more naturalistic spectrum. Would that be a good way to describe
your
product's advantage? So your differentiation is a more naturalistic spectrum. And the reason why the larger competitors don't do this is because nobody appreciates it. Nobody's going to put up the money to pay for this. It costs extra, so why do it if nobody knows the benefit and nobody's going to appreciate it? Well, along comes Colby and says, hey, wait a minute. I'm gonna educate the market. And so he goes through all of this trouble, YouTube videos, blogs, and comes on podcasts and explains the benefit of a naturalistic spectrum. And so 6 months, a year later, the big companies say, Colby, we really appreciate you educating the community. And you know what? We're going to throw on a couple more diodes on our product. Have you thought about that situation? And what are your thoughts?
I part of me hopes that they do it for the betterment of the hobby. We are prepared to not make, you know, a standalone business out of the lights, I guess is the word for it. Okay. You know, the lights don't keep my lights on yet. Right. And so if one of the bigger brands comes out and, you know, absolutely mutilates me, you know, with you know, a better spectrum at a less, you know, price point, can be linked with UVB and all kinds of things like that. We did a good job of educating the market to where it demanded the betterment of, you know, the lighting industry to keep up with it. But I don't think, I'm not too terribly worried about it because I haven't experienced it yet. You know, in a year, Bill, if that happens, I might, you know, send you a message saying it happened. Let's do another podcast, you know, and we can talk it through, because if, you know, paralysis by analysis, we don't want to sit there and just wait, you know, what's going to happen? Who, you know, say somebody tries to buy it out or, you know, takes apart the light and reverse engineers it or something along those lines. I encourage somebody to try, because even I don't understand a lot of, you know, what my my board manufacturer did. I hope they do. I really, really do. I hope some of these bigger brands come out with a more naturalistic spectrum. I've watched, you know, green tree monitors just go crazy with increased behavior within hours of being underneath the more naturalistic, brighter light. I've watched I've watched frogs color up and come out and be more active under a more naturalistic light. And so it's a lot of fun to watch those natural behaviors come out. A lot of people are worried that their light's too bright, but if, you know, you can download a lumen meter on your phone and go outside. You know, now's the perfect time. You know, a nice summer day, go outside and measure the lumens that are coming from the sun right now underneath of a tree. And you'll see that even my lights still don't touch it. They still don't come close to the amount of lumens and PPFD that the sun puts out at 2 o'clock underneath the shade tree. Mm-hmm. But animals are smart. They are going to seek cover when things are too bright or uncomfortable or things along those lines. And so they're gonna find the shade spots and help protect themselves that way. So, but okay. Yeah, no, I hope a big company does start coming out with some really cool stuff.
Yeah. And that's just the natural way of things. As soon as the market demands it, people come in. And being the first one has the advantages because then you are attached to it and people trust you. And that's the huge thing. Yeah, a big company can come in, but they don't have the trust that you have developed over the last year.
Mm-hmm. So my best example of that is Yeti coolers. Yeti wasn't the first cooler of its kind, but they were the best at marketing. And so they took market share. And so there's always somebody out there who's going to copy your product and spend a lot more on marketing, no matter what. And it's, you know, you look at PVC enclosure manufacturers, you know, it's, they're everywhere. And, you know, what are people doing to gain that market share or to steal that market share from a competitor and have a competitive edge or something along those lines? Mm-hmm. Anything that you can do to give yourself a little bit more competitive edge helps. Yeah.
Okay. What is in the future for Thrive Ecosystems? Where are you taking this now?
Single units with UVB and halogen is on the horizon. I love, and this will be a big shout out. I love the Arcadia Thermal Zoo. I love the design and the concept, and I want to do something very similar over all of my tanks to where, you know, with our recent halogen ban too, it's a little harder to get my hands on a lot of spare halogen bulbs. But I do envision, you know, a quad of GU10 bulbs for a basking spot with a UVB and, you know, the Thrive Ecosystems diodes right next to it in a single unit, a single housing with one plug, one power supply, one plug, you know, very easy for the end user to be able to just plug it in. You know, halogens are dimmable, LEDs are dimmable, you know, the UVB can be replaced with a 6% or a 12% or whatever you want. I think that's probably on the immediate horizon, is an all-in-one lighting unit. When UVB LED technology becomes safer, that's obviously going to be a huge thing as well. We tap into the infrared. So in the plant industry and the growing industry, infrared and far red is incredibly important right now because they have shown a lot of benefits in production of fruits when they are tapped into the IR and FR spectrum. And we do tap into it a little bit, like 30%, I think, is right around our spectrum. And so we'd like to tap into it more without lowering our Kelvin temperature of our light. You know, I can have a row of infrared diodes put on my boards, but they're red. They're almost red. And so it'll reduce my temperature all the way down to about 3000 Kelvin, give it that yellow color. Mm-hmm. And that's not what we want. You know, we do want a more natural, well, you know, you look at the sun's color depending on the time of day and the time of year. Humans, we like white light. And a lot of that has to do with our circadian rhythm too, the white light. So again, in our house personally, everything on the main level is white. So like 5,000 or 5,500 Kelvin, but all of our bedrooms are that 3,500 Kelvin because that's telling our body to slow down. It's time to sleep. And so I think that has a lot to do with, you know, the increased animal behavior as well. With our 5,700 Kelvin temperature, you know, we're able to hit those reds, those blues, and that good spectrum of high activity.
Okay. All right. Well, we have covered a lot of the entrepreneurial journey. Is there anything more you would like to add in for the budding entrepreneur out there that says, yeah, you know what? I really want to do this one thing that I don't see out there. What would you tell them?
Chase it. Try it. You know, I would rather see people try and fail than never try. You know, try and fail 3, 4, 5 times, and eventually something's going to stick or something's going to work to where, you know, maybe you're targeting the wrong niche. Maybe, you know, you're designing a product that you think is perfect for the reptile industry, but all of a sudden works in the cosmetic industry, you know, or something weird like that. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to widen your focus on where you're going. Aquatics, I've got a whole section dedicated to aquatics. That's next on our list too, is aquatic lights. We've got our first test unit on our personal fish tank upstairs. And okay. So I'm meeting with somebody this weekend to do an aquatic. A 60, 70, or 75 gallon cichlid tank that he, a 5,000 Kelvin light, because we want that murky water light. And so we're setting up a few different lights this weekend to kind of, you know, play around with it, test them out, and keep trying. And so I think if anybody wants to pursue, you know, any kind of passion or the entrepreneurship, there's no reason not to. You're going to fail. It's a matter of getting past those failures to get to that success, to keep building upon that success. Very, very, very few people have ever done something perfect the first time, and you got really lucky. That's mm-hmm. I don't think any amount of research could have prevented me from failing a few times, because you have to try it. You have to learn. If you're bringing a brand new product to your industry that's never been seen, never been touched, there's going to be a lot of feedback. You know, we talked about criticism. You know, we've gotten a lot of harsh criticism before, and that's fine. Let's use it. Let's continue to develop a better product, a safer product. And at the end of the day, give, you know, our animals the best things we can give them.
Okay. Well, Hobie, if somebody wanted to learn more about what you're doing, where's the best place to find out about the lights and follow your progress?
So, you know, we've got our dedicated website, thriveecosystems.com, Thrive Ecosystems on Facebook, obviously, Instagram, TikTok. We're ramping up a lot of our social media content that way, as, you know, a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, both of them are starting school right now. And so, you know, we try and do as much content as we can. There's the old phrase going out right now, everything is content. And it's true, you know, everything is content. We are, you know, looking to educate with more blog posts. We got to get back to our weekly blog posts to kind of help educate a lot of that stuff. I do have a really good entry level, you know, introduction to lighting, to terrarium lighting on our website. And that's where a lot of the information is. But I encourage everybody to reach out and have conversations first. I've had some very deep conversations with some fellow froggers on, you know, even stuff that was over my head when they were looking for, you know, some of the spectral analysis and things like that on my lights. I had to go back to my manufacturer just to kind of satisfy that and educate myself on it. But I think there's always room for more education. And the more you can surround yourself with those people that know it, the better off you're going to be. And I love having conversations about, you know, lighting or plants or anything like that, for sure.
All right, Colby, thank you very much for coming on and sharing your experience.
Appreciate you asking me to come on, Bill. It was an absolute pleasure.
All right, so what can we learn from this? Other than I'm absolutely amazed that he went out and did this. Now, I did this 10 years ago with the Dragonstrand Chameleon Caging Company when I wanted cage designs that didn't exist. But a lighting system? Now we're talking about some serious science. So I am very impressed with what Colby did. But this is an example of what any of us can do. With the internet able to connect us to many manufacturers and designers wanting business, we can actually make our own reptile equipment. Now, as Colby and I talked, that does take money. And at some point, you're going to have to commit to buying a certain number of those items. So I acknowledge that this is out of the range of most people in the reptile community. But this podcast is listened to by people who make things happen. And if that's you, and there's something that you want to exist that doesn't exist already, I am hoping that these interviews with entrepreneurs are showing you that you can do it. I am also hoping that these interviews show you some of the challenges along the way so you can be ready for them and overcome them. I've got my Thrive Ecosystem LED light bars. I'm evaluating them and I'm highly impressed with what I see so far. And I can guarantee you that we will be following Colby, and I look forward to providing an update as to how Colby's doing in the near future. And with that, I thank you for joining me here. Take care of yourself. Take care of our reptile community. Let's see what we can build.